What's going on around the country in spring football, in college football? We are here to help you kind of catch up on everything. It's not really college football time, Darce.
No, it's very difficult. I mean, you've got opening day baseball today.
Today, yeah.
And I'm kind of geared up, and it's hard to get involved in the college football.
You are showing no regard for the Marlins Cardinals or the A's Mariners last week. Today is opening day for you.
Well, let me tell you something. First of all, the Marlins game was ridiculous that the World Series champions opened on the road,
yeah.
And then the Marlins have to shoot out to Cincinnati and play Cincinnati tonight.
Right,
that makes no sense.
It is weird.
I can understand the game in Japan. It's a little cross, it's whatever. It's MLB doing its part globally, I guess.
Sure. Well, it is Thursday, the 5th of April, and if you want to send us an email, it's podcast@cbsinteractive.com. Adam Azer, J. Darren Darst, not joined on the phone. Our studio is still being renovated, so we'll get back on the phone hopefully next week. We'll bring on one of our writers, Dodd or McMurphy, and we'll talk to them about some bigger issues. But we do have just some notes from around the country. The good and the bad news all rolled into one here in the first note. Bobby Petrino was in a motorcycle crash, but he's back at practice, expected to make a full recovery, so that's good. And other than that, we've got some lighter stuff to talk about. Just kind of going around LSU, Ohio State. Let's see what else we got. Even Duke, USF, not just the big schools. And we got some notes for you. How are you, Darst?
I'm pretty good.
Yeah? That's it? That's all you got?
That's all I got.
You got to see Hunger Games.
I'll wait till it comes out on HBO.
You said you wanted to see it.
I do, but I'm not going to rush to the theater to see Hunger Games.
I don't know. I would see it in theaters. It was good. You'd like it. LSU's receiving core. They refer to themselves as the Fab Five. I have a big problem with that.
They're not so fabulous? Is that what you're saying?
Well, they could be, but they haven't proven anything.
No,
we're talking
haven't.
About Russell Shepard, Odell Beckham Jr., James Wright, Jarvis Landry, and Kadron Boone. So you got to prove it before you give yourself any nickname. I read that they gave themselves the nickname.
Well,
either way, either
course.
The team started it or they themselves started it, whatever. They cannot have that nickname right now, Darce. They haven't done anything to deserve it.
Well, not only that, I mean, A, they haven't done anything to deserve it. And realistically, I know, and we'll probably talk a little bit more about it, Mettenberger is going to open up the offense a little bit more. But you're right. This is mostly a team that plays defense and runs the ball pretty much. I mean, they're not really known for having great receivers, have they?
Well, they've had some good ones.
Reuben Randall.
Dwayne Bowe.
Yeah, but he had never put up spectacular numbers in college.
They're not an air raid offense.
No, they're not.
And the thing about this group is that Odell Beckham Jr. was the second leading receiver last year behind Reuben Randall, and he had 475 yards last season, Beckham Jr., that is. The rest of these guys really didn't do anything. Russell Shepard's been a huge disappointment,
yeah,
in my opinion. Do they have the talent? Yeah. Did they not have the quarterback last year? Was that the problem? Could have been. Mettenberger, so you mentioned, open up the offense a little bit, and they did that in the spring game. They threw the ball more. My feeling is when push comes to shove, I still think they're going to be mostly a running team.
Me too. But listen, is it any big surprise that when you had Jordan Jefferson and Jarrett Lee, now you're opening it up? Well, maybe throwing the ball a few more times a game? I don't know.
No, I think they'll throw it maybe 20 times a game at least, but I still think
they're mostly
I still think they are going to establish the run.
Yes.
They better. I mean, if they go away from their running game, they have so many good running backs. That'd be stupid.
Mettenberger, but Heisman candidate next year?
No.
I was just joking.
Okay, good. Well, he's got a pedigree. He's got a big arm. He threw a couple of interceptions in the spring game. One was returned for a touchdown. But they are one of the few teams that actually has had their spring game already. But, yeah, again, it's a defense team, and it should be kind of a ground-and-pound game that will at least be able to get some big plays out of the passing game because you've got speedy receivers and you've got a quarterback with a big arm. Jarvis Landry, by the way, one of those receivers, he had a big spring game. He could be one that really benefits from Mettenberger. How do you think Urban Meyer will do with Braxton Miller next year? Rather, how do you think Braxton Miller will do under Urban Meyer?
I don't know. I mean, listen, again, I still think they're going to be, with Miller, they're still going to be a run QB first, pass second. I mean, don't you agree? Or do you think they're going to turn him into a legit throwing quarterback?
I don't think pocket passer.
No.
But I think roll out and throw.
Spread option, of course.
Yeah. But no, I think the amount of pocket passes he makes will probably still be on the low end comparatively to other quarterbacks in the country. It's going to be It's going to be Florida's offense.
I know, but it's just like you said with LSU about proving it. I need to see something out of Miller. I mean, I saw some games where he had some great running performances and he threw a couple nice passes in a game, but I mean, I don't know. I'm not sold on him being a legit down the field passer.
13 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. He only completed 54% of his passes. 4 games of 99 rushing yards or better. And doesn't that sound a lot more impressive than saying 3 games of 100 rushing yards or better?
Yes.
Because if you go down to 99, talking about a whole extra game here. I wanted to tie this in with Taj Boyd, Clemson's quarterback. He threw 33 touchdowns, 12 picks, 60% of them, 60% completions. 9 interceptions in his last 6 games, though, so he kind of slumped a little bit at the end of the year. Now, Bruce Feldman has written a lot about George Whitfield. He's a quarterback guru, a very interesting guy, a great interview, very, very candid. He's worked with Andrew Luck and Cam Newton, among others. $200 a day to get a session with Mr. Whitfield, Darst.
That's
what do you think? You and I go out there.
I'll show some kid how to throw the ball for $50 a day.
I was thinking you'd pay George Whitfield.
Oh yeah, let's do it. Let's go.
That's all you charge, $50 a day.
Yeah,
it's tempting. Anyway, Taj Boyd's been working with him, and do you think he will get better or worse in 2012? Because if you look at those numbers, 33 and 12.
It's going to be
pretty damn good.
It is. It's going to be tough for him to put up 30. I mean, 30 touchdowns is a great season in college football.
Yeah.
But I like Boyd. I like, and you know, I think Clemson has, you know, they like to open it up. They always have speed on their team. I mean, I don't know who their recruits are in front of me, but sure. I mean, I'll go.
Doesn't matter because their wide receivers. I mean, they lose Dwayne Allen, their tight end.
Yeah.
But their receivers are going to be really good.
Yeah. I think I like Boyd. I would like Boyd over Miller, Braxton Miller. I'm not sold on Braxton Miller.
I think it's easy to say that you take Boyd over Miller.
We've seen what he can do.
Yeah, I mean, you'd have to be an idiot to say I'd take Braxton Miller, but I'm not a huge Braxton Miller guy. However, I saw enough last year, and there's enough of a track record for Urban Meyer to think that Miller could make a big jump.
Sure, of course. I mean, it was his first year, so I mean, he's only going to get better, you would assume, right?
Yeah, and I'm just worried that Boyd statistically regresses a little bit.
That's
a regression toward
the
mean.
It's going to be tough.
Right, exactly. It's tough to duplicate.
33 touchdowns.
A year like that. I would like to see his completion percentage go up, though. Only 60%.
Yeah.
Feldman also notes that South Carolina defensive end Jadeveon Clowney is going to line up inside on obvious pass rush situations, third and long. That's what Melvin Ingram did last year. So you get an extra defensive end on the field. You put this monster in the middle
beast
of the offensive or the defensive line. What do you think about that?
He's awesome. I mean, listen, any way you can get him more involved and get him picking up. Melvin Ingram had a great season last year. So if Clowney's going to do what he did on third and long instead of rushing on the edges, that's going to be great. I like South Carolina this year.
Let's talk about question marks.
Okay.
Who's got question marks coming into spring? And every team does. So who?
Well, every team does. But here, I was talking to you off air, and we talk about the teams that I'm thinking about, and I'm going after some of these big schools, national championship type contenders year after year. Florida State to me has got a question mark. Here's a team that was supposed to be dominating last year, was supposed to win the ACC. They were preseason top 5 and everybody, and they didn't get the job done. And now you're questioning, what's the deal with EJ Manuel? Okay, is he legit quarterback? Can he help them win the ACC? And what's up with their running game? It's god awful.
It all comes back to to 5 guys sitting on that offensive line, and that's what it was. I mean, last year their offensive line was pretty bad. Their running back talent is there. I mean, the talent is undeniable. You are talking about some of the best recruits in the nation, a guy like James Wilder.
Yeah.
A guy like Devontae Freeman.
Freeman's going to miss spring, though, they said.
Another big freshman that they're bringing in this year, too. They've got more and more. They're just loading up at running back. If they're not running the ball well, I think you have to look at the offensive line. It was a young, young unit last year. I know we've talked about this on previous shows.
I know.
But that's the question mark to me. If you look at all the positions, all the units around the country, there may not be one that impacts the national championship race more than the Florida State offensive line.
Yeah, because the ACC is a winnable conference for them. So
absolutely.
All right, so that was one of them. You want to go with one, or you want me to tell you some of mine?
Well, I had FSU on mine, so you go
ahead.
Okay.
Another thing is Oklahoma. Again, Landry Jones, very disappointing season last year. He comes back. Here's another team that always has tons of talent, is always ranked in the preseason top 5. And you know what? Now they've got this other quarterback, Blake Bell. What are they going to do with him? Because he came in a lot and ran the ball. So are they going to keep taking Landry Jones off the field? Now you've got two QBs.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
It just doesn't work in my eyes.
It worked pretty damn well for them last year.
Yeah, it did. I mean, listen, it does. But, I mean, you're taking a guy who is potentially a top five pick in next year's NFL draft. You're taking him off the field.
Why are you saying he had a bad year?
I don't have the stats in front of me, but he had a down season statistic.
I know, but that's because every time they would get near the goal line, they take him off the field. So
He also, I think his completion percentage was down, and I think he threw more interceptions.
Definitely struggled, but the touchdowns were down largely because of Blake Bell, the Belldozer package.
The Belldozer, so dumb.
I got no problem with it, Darst.
I'm not a big – and the other thing, too, is obviously – the running back situation in Oklahoma. I mean, it's not a repeat of Florida State, but is Dominic Whaley, I mean, he ended the season with a broken ankle, and then they struggled to find kids. I don't know. I just think Oklahoma's, they get so much talent, but I think they're one of the most overrated teams in college football because they're always preseason top five.
I'll give you a reason why they're going to be better. Mike Stoops.
Well, that's the other question I was going to say to you about the Stoops.
Not a big Venables guy.
No,
he's
well,
gone
that's
now,
huge.
And Stoops comes in, and I think he'll do a better job.
Okay. Hey, that's great. These are just teams I'm looking at that think I'm
sure
keeping my eye on. And my only other one is, and I know you love this kid. You love Brian Bennett at Oregon, don't you?
Yeah. There's not that much to love at this point because I only saw him once, but I thought he was really good. And he's very fast. He's faster than Darren Thomas was. So I have no worries about him.
A team is, I mean, you know,
they got a lot of secondary. Can they beat USC?
Right. Well, that's what it's going to come down to. But there's another team with a lot of speed, a lot of fun on offense. So would Bennett be able to manage that? But
that's funny. I was going to put Oregon on my list, but
yeah.
I didn't.
All right. That's all I got. Those are just three that stuck out to me. You know.
How about the Stanford quarterback?
Yeah. Well, that's obviously going to be an issue too.
Brett Nottingham or whoever wins that job. There's a lot there.
I don't see Stanford as a national title contender. And I'm sure going to get killed by the Stanford
fans.
They're
not a national title contender.
Well, that's what I was talking about.
But they're a. They're a Pac-12 contender.
Sure, they're third. They're the third best team in the Pac. Third best team in Pac-12. Maybe Utah's better than them this year coming in. Oregon,
I
USC.
I think that's a bit of a jump.
Okay,
coming
well,
in, I think
well,
you have to give Stanford enough respect.
All right. So they Oregon, USC, and then you say Stanford's third.
Stanford should still have a pretty good defense.
Right.
They're still gonna be able to run the ball. You know, they lose Andrew Luck, but they also lost some very, very good offensive linemen.
Yeah.
So that's a concern. But their recruiting has been very good. I don't know if the great recruiting class is going to be able to contribute much this year. Their linebackers should be good, though. You got Chase Thomas. Shane Scove is going to be coming back from injury. He's a huge question mark.
Yeah, but when he's healthy, he's so good.
Yeah, exactly. So he could very much help them a lot. Alabama defensive backs. I think this kind of ties in with LSU and their quarterback situation. It could really help them to have a guy who could throw the ball when they face Alabama. Alabama's going to be bringing in some new defensive backs here. Unproven.
Sure.
Not necessarily bad, just unproven. That's a question.
Well, they lost
mark.
Everybody, you know.
And then to tie it in with the spring games here, the Texas quarterback position. Look, we love Texas's defense every year.
Yeah, but this they've got the same problem they had last year.
I cannot be the least bit optimistic about David Ash or Case McCoy. There's no starter right now. But I think it's Ash. I would say most people probably think he's ahead of the race. They just don't want to say it. He's just not that good.
No.
They don't have a great quarterback on this roster. Their best passer seems to be coming out of trick plays whenever they have wide receivers throwing the football.
Yeah, they. I mean...
Shipley. When Jackson Shipley throws it, he seems to do better than their real quarterbacks. So that's a big one, too. Because their defense is good enough. If they had a good quarterback, they could win their conference.
Well, yes, because they're only giving up 13, 15, 16 points a game. So if they can limit, if they can somehow, you know, I mean, look at the Kansas State game last year. Look at the Kansas State game last year.
Yeah.
Their defense played great. I think they held Kansas State to what, 13 points?
You think it was
It was like 13-10 late in the game. I don't know what happened. Maybe Kansas State scored to give them the lead.
What a horrible game that
was. It was horrendous. But you know what's funny is? That was a game that was prototypical of Texas this now. Their defense played so dominating. They were keeping Kansas State out of the end zone, but their offense couldn't do anything.
Yeah, and the thing is, their defense, I think you're probably wrong about the points they allow. I think we tried this once. It's kind of higher than you would expect, I believe, but it's only because their offense is so bad. Their defense is on the field more.
Yeah.
Yeah. If they had a good offense, their defense would be absolutely elite. Anyway.
I have to look up that Kansas State-Texas game.
Yeah. I don't know. Try it on your phone.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, I don't want to distract from the
rest of our podcast. I got some notes to read.
Okay, go ahead. I'll search for it.
All right. Rutgers quarterback update. New coach Kyle Flood says it'll either be Chase Dodd or Gary Nova. It will not be both. Both threw too many interceptions last year.
I like Rutgers this year.
You do?
They're a good sleeper team in the Big East.
You think so?
Yeah.
All right. Well, they're going to settle on one guy. I know you like that strategy.
Yeah, I don't like the two QBs.
I like it when it's a Blake Bell, Landry Jones kind of thing, but when it's like splitting reps, no, I'm not a fan. UNC quarterback update. I actually found this to be very interesting. So Bryn Renner last year, he comes in, completes 68.3% of his passes, 26 touchdowns, 13 interceptions, which is a little much, but the fourth most yards per attempt last season in the nation, the 10th best passer rating in the nation. So this is Bryn Renner. He might not be the starter this year. He might be supplanted by Marcus Williams, who is a better fit for the new coach's offense. Larry Fedora coming in there, more of a spread guy, different kind of offense. If you think about Southern Miss compared to UNC, totally different offense. They might go with Williams. He's more mobile. He's more athletic. But that would be kind of weird if Renner loses his job.
That is going to be kind of weird because you think, I mean, the 13 interceptions, whatever, but still, he had a good season last year.
My opinion on him is that he's better on paper than he is in games. I never really liked him that much.
Okay.
But still, you think he'd had done enough to be the quarterback next year. Anyway,
Auburn's, a lot worse guys out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of worse guys, Auburn's, their offense is going to be transitioning to a more pro-style look, more of a power running game. Thoughts?
It's better fits them. They are also a team that is better equipped to run the ball than pass the ball. As we saw last year, their passing was pretty dreadful.
I'm going to say it again. Gus Malzahn did a very overrated job at Auburn. He got Cam Newton. He had one great year out of three.
Of course.
And they were pretty disappointing on offense the other two seasons.
Well, the other thing, too, is besides you take away Cam Newton, who was everything to them, look at their quarterback situation last year. It was dreadful.
Yeah, it was horrible. Dennis Dodd reporting that the NCAA postseason task force is proposing handing over the legal responsibility of running the bowl games to the conferences. So they say, hey, you guys figure it out.
Yeah, I don't know if this is a good idea or not. The problem is going to be with the conferences is the big conferences like the SEC, if they're taking over the bowl stuff, they're going to make sure that their teams are matched up against other big schools.
I don't know how this would work, but the conferences would be responsible for running the bowls and also determining who's bowl eligible. So 6-6, does that get you in? I think you and I would like to see the bar raised.
7-5.
I think every college football fan pretty much would like to see less bowls.
Sure.
They're horrible.
Some of these early games are horrendous.
Some of the late games are horrendous. There's so few bowls that I care about. Brett McMurphy reporting that Georgia State is likely joining the Sun Belt. They are currently in the Colonial Athletic Association. Sounds more like a sports club than a conference.
Well, listen, Georgia State, let me tell you something. Georgia State is in downtown Atlanta. They started football. Obviously, as the football progresses a little bit through the 1AA ranks, FCS, whatever you want to call it, the Sun Belt is a perfect spot for them.
And how many years have they been playing football?
One, maybe two years. Yeah.
I mean, that's quite a jump.
It is.
Starting a program, and then they'll be playing in 2013 in the Sun Belt if this goes through.
It's a little
but
quick.
But it won't count until 2014. 2013 is going to be like a transitional year. They're not eligible for a bowl or for the league championship.
Well, remember, Florida Atlantic and Florida International, they did the same thing. I think they were in 1AA for 5 years, and then they did the transition into the Division I. The goal is always the same, to get to Division I, to get the big paychecks. Then Georgia State can go to play Nebraska and make $800,000 in Florida and Auburn and all these other schools.
You know that the Gators are going to want to schedule.
Oh, of course. I think they've already called Georgia State and said, we want you.
The Gators do not do non-conference road games outside of the Southeast or the state of Florida.
Outside, they have not played a non-conference road game out of the state of Florida since 91.
Oh, okay. So Georgia State is too far.
No, but they'll have Georgia State come down for three games.
Yeah, but they won't. They'll never visit.
No.
That's insane. The nation's number one quarterback recruit, Max Brown, said he's going to USC. I don't understand it. Weren't the penalties supposed to, like, cripple USC?
But it took away some scholarships, but
not really, because he's going to enroll early. I mean, this penalties did, but this doesn't take away his scholarship, really. He's going to enroll early.
they didn't really get affected too much by the – I mean, everyone thought, listen, they had the scholarships lost and the no bowl game for a year. But, man, they're right back in it now. They're a national championship contender this year.
You enroll early, you can count towards the previous year and not affect your – current year scholarship. So, I don't know. Good for them. They got another great quarterback. Lane Kiffin is...
Oh, yeah. He's getting it done up there.
He is, absolutely.
Real quick. Let's go back to this Kansas State.
I'm going to go with 17-13 final.
It was a 17-13. Hey. But wait a second. I said it was like 13-10 at one point or something like that. So, anyway, it was 17-13.
You're not giving me any credit for that?
I got to give you a little bit of credit. Texas's defense held Kansas State to 38 yards rushing on 39 carries.
Wow.
And 83 yards passing.
Wow.
And they lost. You know why? Because McCoy and Ash combined 15 of 32 with two interceptions. It was just one of those games where they just couldn't do anything, and Kansas State won.
There were a lot of great games that night, I remember. That was a very close one. That was a good night of football. Iowa running backs are cursed. Jordan Canzari tore his ACL. He's likely out for
Yikes.
The season. Marcus Coker off the team. Canzari actually started for Coker in the Insight Bowl when Coker
Yeah, what's
was
Coker
going
to do now?
He might be playing at a lower level. I'm not sure. But I had something. Oh, are you following this whole Kirk Ferentz's son getting hired thing?
No.
So Kirk Ferentz's son got hired on the staff. Ferentz?
Kirk Ferentz, yeah, Ferentz.
I always forget the pronunciation. Sure. I've asked so many times. I forget every time. His son got hired on the staff. And now people are saying it's nepotism, this and that. He got hired. Apparently there was a pool of like 100 applicants. The dude was an assistant coach for the Patriots.
I'm sorry.
What kind of credentials do you need? I mean, he was an assistant coach for the Patriots. It's a good hire. He probably knows a thing or two. I don't know.
Probably should have changed his name, though, for the application process.
Yeah. Something that's more obvious to pronounce. Spring games, we talked about LSU's. We talked about Texas. Duke, really not much to talk about here.
Yeah, I was going to say, really? You're going to talk about the Duke spring game?
Yeah, their coach, David Cutliff, he's been there since 2007. This is a quote. "I think that because so many individuals got better, we are coming out of this spring without any doubt in my mind with the best team that we have had a chance to have since we've been here because we got a lot of good football players."
All right. Well, you know what? They got to go to a bowl game. That's all there is to it.
They won three games last year.
Awesome.
Now, they were 93rd in the nation in scoring offense. Duke was 90th in scoring defense. They did get blown out a few times, but lost to Richmond by two.
Okay, got
to
win that one.
In the opener.
No, I mean, I'm serious.
Close losses, though. Richmond by two, Wake by one, yep. Virginia Tech by four, all Virginia right. by 10, Georgia Tech by seven.
Okay, a few of those games swing, they're 6-6, and they're in a bowl.
Yeah.
Listen, you cannot be losing to Richmond.
No, it was the season opener, though.
That's bad. Can't lose to Richmond.
Good
you can't invite
year.
Richmond
I thought they'd
down.
Be better last
you
year.
Can't invite an FCS school to come to your place and lose to them. Cannot be done.
USF spring game is April 9th. Not quite sure why we're talking about them, but I just figured, hey, let's talk about USF because I think this team could really bounce back next year. Because you want to talk about, there's a difference between some close losses and losses that are determined on the final play of the game. They lost four games on the last play of the game last season. They went 5-7. They have 18 starters returning.
This is it for BJ Daniels. This is it. I mean, I'm saying this, but his career has been up and down at South Florida. He's had signs of greatness and signs of disaster. So this is it. Here it is. Senior year. Do something.
And when I see that, the conclusion I come to is he's just not that good.
No, he's probably not. But again, they're in a weak conference. They're in a weak Big East. 8 wins can win you the conference.
8 wins, you think?
9.
Yeah. You mean 8 conference wins? Well, they only play 8 games, so.
No, yeah, 9 overall. 9-3.
They play 8 conference games?
I don't know. They only have 6.
No, they only play 7.
I don't know.
Last year they only played 7.
How many teams are in the Big East right now? It may change as soon as we're off the podcast.
Right, exactly. I'm losing track. So anyway, they got 18 starters returning USF here. I'm a little concerned about their running back situation because Darryl Scott was very good last year.
Yeah,
5.3, I think, yards per carry. Demetrius Murray, 4.2. He's their starter right now. Keep an eye on USF, though. That's a team whose record could improve dramatically. And Cal, they don't have a spring game. Darce, what's up with that?
Listen, I know you're going to tell me about the stadium being renovated. You can't move it somewhere else. There's no stadiums elsewhere in California.
I was wondering about that. There's got to be a logical explanation.
There's no high school stadium you can rent out for a day?
I mean, a lot of schools, I feel, don't have their spring.
Can't
their
borrow
stadium.
Another school's stadium for a day? What's the problem?
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Most schools probably have their spring games at their stadium, but I've definitely seen situations where that doesn't happen. Yeah, it's kind of weird. But here's another weird thing about Cal. Their quarterback, Zach Maynard, his favorite receiver and his best receiver is wide receiver Keenan Allen. They are brothers. Who's going to start opposite Keenan Allen at the other wide receiver spot? Could be Maurice Harris, a redshirt freshman. He's very talented, this according to the Cal Bears Examiner. What does Maurice Harris have in common with Zach Maynard and Keenan Allen? They're related as well.
Jeez.
He's their cousin. Talk about nepotism. Man, that first string for the Bears could be all in the family.
Here's another team, Cal, that just, I don't know, they're just average.
I want to talk about it's time. It's
yeah,
time for them.
But they're just an average team. They're a 7-5 team.
They have the potential to be better than that. They got E.C. Cefele back in their backfield,
yeah,
good running back.
Yeah.
You're talking about a
they're
good a running
back.
They're
a way step down behind USC and Oregon.
All right, but you're talking about a good running back in Cefele. I don't think he's great. I think he's good. A great wide receiver. And then your quarterback, Zach Maynard, off and on kind of guy,
yeah,
but
yeah.
Maybe he gets better. You always want to see that big three, that quarterback, wide receiver,
know.
Running back. You
I
always
know.
Want to see it, Darcy. All right, we're done for the day.
We are done for the day.
Go see Hunger Games, man.
All right, I'll go see Hunger Games. Right now I'm going to go finish watching the Pirates in the season opener.
God, you and everybody else. Take it easy, y'all. Back next week.